Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Amazing grace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It is good to see everybody out today. And I hope and pray that everybody's had a good weekend so far. It's coming to a close. We'll start another week, and then we'll be back here again next week. Amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes life is very schedule-oriented, right? We have certain things we do. But I hope and pray that church is not a schedule-oriented thing. I hope it's a thing you do because you want to be here and you want to serve God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. We're going to finish up this series that I started a couple of weeks ago about grace. We're going to talk today about grace in action. We've talked about what grace is. We've talked about things that grace does for us. Today, we're going to talk about grace in action. I'm going to talk to you about three stories from the New Testament. These are all three from the New Testament, although there are some that we could have taken from the Old Testament. But I wanted to get some familiar stories that I thought everybody would be familiar with. So we're going to talk about that today. Guys, it's by grace we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. I want to remind everybody about that. God's grace that covers us when we accept Jesus as our Savior is what saves us. Okay, we can't do it on our own. That's the point I've been trying to stress throughout this whole series is we cannot do anything good enough to merit God's grace. He gave it to us as a free gift. Why? Because He loves us. Amen. Aren't you glad God loves you?
Amen.
Because we do some things sometimes that are not real loving, right? We do things sometimes that displease God. And guess what? That's what His grace is about. When we mess up and fess up, His grace is covering us. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what it's about. I want to be sure you understand that. And so many people just think, oh, and I've heard people say this so many times. This is what disturbs me. They'll say, well, preacher, I've done so many bad things. I just don't believe God can forgive me. Let me tell you something. You have not done anything any worse than anybody else has. Amen. I can assure you that.
Amen.
I think if we went around this building right now, of course, I don't want to get into a true confessional time. Amen. Well, I'm not going to do that. But I guarantee you that we've all done some of the same things. But we still serve the same God, amen?
Amen.
The same God of grace and mercy and love. And that's what it's all about. We're going to finish that this morning. And I want us to look at our focus verses again from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10.
Amen.
If you will, I'm going to ask you to turn to that. And we're going to read those three verses again. If you will, stand to your feet in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to read those three verses from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Father God, Lord, in the next few minutes, Lord, just let Your will and Your way be done here. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to You, Lord. And Lord, let everything that's said and done from this point on, Lord, be for Your glory. Not for anything that we deserve, God, but for Your glory, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to look at three examples today of God's grace in action. And I think you're very familiar with most all of these, but I want to be sure you understand what Jesus did in all three of these circumstances here. We're going to take a look at the woman who was about to be stoned for adultery, that was caught committing adultery, caught in the act of adultery. We're going to look at the woman at the well. And we're going to look at Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. I want to start off and I want to begin by setting the groundwork here. We're on the second bullet now of your notes, if you're keeping up with us here. We're going to begin our journey with this morning with Jesus teaching a group of people in the temple here. Now, imagine this. Now, most of the time, it'd be like if I was in the middle of a sermon and somebody busted through the back door and was trying to accuse somebody of doing something. Well, that's what happened here in this situation. Jesus was teaching, and all of a sudden, here comes the religious leaders and the Pharisees dragging this poor woman up into the middle of the crowd where Jesus was teaching. And they didn't care about the fact that Jesus was right in the middle of teaching people something, because they were trying to trap Jesus. They were trying to catch Him in something that they could crucify Him for. So they said, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. Moses' law says she should be stoned. What do you have to say about it?" And I love what Jesus did here. He stooped down, and here's these people. He's probably thinking, okay, you just interrupted me. I'm going to just do what I want to do for a minute here. You just barged in right in the middle of me trying to talk to some people. So Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with His finger, the Bible says. He's just sitting there doodling in the dust. These guys, now can you imagine these Pharisees and these religious leaders? I bet their blood pressure had reached a boiling point by then. Oh, they were red hot because they thought that Jesus was going to immediately just cater to everything they wanted. So here He is sitting there doodling in the sand down there. So, you know, after a while, After demanding an answer from Jesus, they just kept being so persistent. Jesus stood up and he said one of the most profound things that I've read in the New Testament. He looked at those people that were so bent out of shape about this woman who had been drug in for committing adultery. And he looked at them and he said, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." Wow, that was a profound statement, wasn't it? And then guess what he did? He knelt back down and started doodling in the sand again. He made his point. And one by one, from the oldest to the youngest, these guys started dropping their stones on the ground and walking out. That was a profound statement Jesus made to these people right here. They walked out until all that was left was Jesus and this woman. They were the only ones left there in the room. Jesus turned to her and asked where her accusers were. He asked her, "Did even one of them accuse her?" To which she responded, "No." And look at what Jesus said. Here's where he showed his grace and mercy to this woman right here in this moment in time. He said to her, "Then neither do I. Go and sin no more." Go and sin no more. Now, did Jesus just excuse what she had done? No, he brought it up to her right there. He brought it up to her. He acknowledged the fact that, hey, you've been accused of this, and obviously you're guilty of this, but guess what? I'm not going to punish you. I'm not going to beat you up. Don't do this anymore. Go and sin no more. Guys, let me tell you something. That's what the Holy Spirit of God should be whispering in your ear, in my ear too. Every time we do something we shouldn't be doing, we should hear that small voice inside our ear called the Holy Spirit of God saying, "Brother, sister, I forgive you." Now that is if we go and call for and ask for forgiveness. We should hear that small voice saying, "Go and sin no more."
Amen.
Go and sin no more.
Amen.
But guys, you know what? We're sinful creatures, right? We may have to pray that just about every day. But guess what? The Holy Spirit of God is going to forgive us. And he's going to keep saying, though, "Go and sin no more." He wasn't excusing what this woman had done. But he was showing her grace in that he understood, hey, I know you're a sinful person. I know what you did was wrong. I just don't want you to keep doing it.
Amen.
I'm not going to condemn you either. Isn't it great to know sometimes when people show you some grace when you really deserve some punishment? Parents, you ever showed your kids some grace? I know what y'all call grace. Not using the same size switch every time. Amen. That's what some of you think grace is. But guys, you know, when you show your kids some grace sometimes when, yeah, they probably did do something that deserved you to get all bent out of shape, but you just look them in the eye and you say, "Hey, son, hey, my daughter, I'm not happy with what you did, but let's just don't do that anymore, okay? I'm trusting that you're not going to do that anymore. I'm going to trust that you're going to do the right thing next time." That's showing grace, guys. That's showing some mercy. And you know what most of the time your kids are going to do? They're going to respect you a whole lot more, and they're going to make it a point to try to do what's the right thing.
Amen.
When you come to them with that kind of attitude. Jesus didn't condone what she did, but he didn't condemn her either. Amen? He didn't do that either. All right, the next thing we're going to look at here is the story of the woman at the well. You know, I love this story right here. When I talk about the unconditional love of Jesus for someone who everyone else that was Jewish would despise, I think about this story right here. The woman at the well. Let me set the background for you here. Jesus and the disciples had been on a long journey. They were tired. They were thirsty. Jesus had sent the rest of them back to town to go get something to eat. But see, Jesus already knew what he was fixing to do, right? He already had what was going to happen right here at this well. Already in mind, he already knew what he was going to do. So he goes over here to this well about noon. And as she always did at that time of the day, here comes a Samaritan woman to draw water from the well. Well, first of all, here's the problem. She was a Samaritan. Jesus was a what?
Jew,
right? Jews did not converse with Samaritans. Jews were thought of themselves as far above Samaritans. They were not going to have anything to do with them. And also, let me just throw a little bit of culture in there as well. Men in general did not talk to women out in public like that anyway. Boy, things have changed now, haven't they? Amen. We don't have that happening anymore much. But anyhow, Here was Jesus. First of all, they sit down there at the well. The Samaritan woman was shocked when Jesus asked her for a drink. Because she knew that, hey, I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. We just don't, this is, are you sure you know what you're doing here? But Jesus had a plan in mind. Jesus was fixing to show this woman some grace, and he was fixing to help her here. She didn't understand it at first. Then Jesus went on to tell her about living water. That water that, hey, you can't dip that out of no well, amen? Amen. Sorry, I should have said any well. You know what? I like to make points by using improper grammar sometimes. Please forgive me. I'm a very educated man, but I don't act like it sometimes, amen? But anyhow. Yes, I got a degree in redneckology. Any of y'all got a degree in
amen.
That?
Amen.
Can anybody relate to that?
Amen. Okay.
All right. But guys, let me tell you something. Jesus was there for a mission that day. And that mission was to show some grace to a woman who had a life full of things that were wrong. Now, don't get me wrong, and we're going to look at this in just a minute. So he starts talking about, he said, you know what? I'll give you some water that you won't ever thirst again once you get this water. She's like, what are you talking about? Because she knew that she was thinking about physical thirst, right? Well, physically, I'm going to get thirsty again. I know I'm going to get thirsty again. He said, no, I'm going to give you some living water for you to think about for a minute. He goes on and he explains that to her. She didn't really understand him at first, but once she did, she wanted to drink of this water that Jesus was telling her about. But first, he said, I want you to do something for me before I tell you about this water here, before I give this water to you. In other words, before I give you salvation, I want you to do me something. Now, here's where Jesus was calling her out in a nice, loving way. Guys, let me tell you something. I just believe. Now, you can say what you want to say and you can think what you want to think. But I'm going by what Jesus did here. Jesus didn't say, you no good piece of. I'm not filling out the rest of that blank, amen. He didn't say that. Why are you up here at this well? You know you've done this, this, and this. I mean, you know what? He already knew what she had done, right? You ever heard the saying, you get more flies with honey than you do vinegar? That's what I believe, amen. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
I mean, you can beat up somebody all you want to, but that ain't what Jesus did. Jesus loved them. When they were beating him, did he retaliate back? No, he stood there and took it for us.
Amen.
And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to show love when we're trying to point out things to people and not just beat them into submission. So Jesus said, I want you to do one thing for me. I want you to go back and get your husband. I want to talk to both of y'all about this. Well, she said, sir, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus, the next thing he said was, you're right about that. You've actually had five of them, and the one you're with now is not your husband. Could you see the look on her face probably then? She's like, oh my gosh, how do you know me? She said, hey, you must be a prophet. She at that point in time knew that there was something different about Jesus. Now Jesus, once again, was not excusing her sin. If Jesus had not have said something about her husband's and about the fact she was living out of wedlock with a man right then and there, then his mission would have been thwarted there. Because you see, he wanted to lead this lady to salvation. But he knew that she had to confess her sin and they had to be brought forth before she could do that, right? Guys, let me tell you something. Not a one of you in here got saved and truly saved until you confessed your sin to Jesus Christ and told him you wanted him in your heart. That's the only way you found salvation, guys. You cannot get it any other way. You've got to say, Lord, I am a sinner and I realize it and I want your saving grace to be poured out on me right now. I believe in you. I know you died on that cross, you were buried, you resurrected on the third day, and I want to follow you the rest of my life.
Amen.
That's what you prayed. And he knew that for this woman to find that salvation that day, she had to lay bare, and he had to lay bare in her life all the things that were wrong with her. And that's what he did. But guess what? He loved her to the point where he said, you know what? I'm going to forgive you those things. The Bible doesn't tell a whole lot more about it, but it says that she got up and she left and she went to town and told her family and told her, and the Bible says, and many people came to know Jesus because of that.
Amen.
Because of that one encounter at the well. Guys, how many times do we have potential encounters every day of our life, at work, at school, out and about in the community? How many times do we have that well experience where we can be sharing God's love with somebody and we just don't do it? Think about it, guys. Think about that. She realized Jesus was the Messiah. She accepted God's gift of grace through Jesus Christ that day. And she went back. Let me tell you, once you get saved and the Holy Spirit of God comes into your heart, you can't contain it. Amen. You're not going to be able to contain it. Amen. You're going to need to go out and share it with people. Amen. And share it with other people. That's what God's grace does to you. It makes you want to go out and share Him with other people. Amen. And that's what Jesus was doing here. Last but not least today, guys, we'll be done. I want to talk to you about another example of God's grace in action. When Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, here's what the deal was, guys. Lazarus took ill. These three people were very, very special to Jesus. They were very special to Jesus. He loved this family very much. He was very close to this family. And when word got to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, He said, well, I think His disciples thought, oh, we're going to rush on over there because Jesus loves Lazarus now. He loves Him some Lazarus. He's going to go over there and heal him. Jesus said, no, let's wait a while. They're like, Master, are you sure? And so they waited for 3 more days. And Lazarus died in between time. They'd already buried him by the time Jesus got there. When Jesus got there to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, there were so many people mourning, and Jesus was overcome by the grief that was being shown and the emotion that was being shown there, that the Bible tells us, and this is the shortest verse in the Bible, in the book of John, it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept when He saw the emotion that was being poured out for this man. It just overcame Him. The human side of Him showed that day. He wept. He told Mary and Martha, look, if you believe, you're going to see the glory of God right now happening. Amen. Amen. I mean, if you're ready to see the glory of God here one day being displayed, when He comes back and He takes His bride, the church, on to be with Him. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, that's going to be a great day, right? We're not going to have any more heartaches and pains and aches and all this kind of stuff. Man, I tell you, let me tell you something real quick. I got to throw this in here. Maybe this might not be the right time, but I just got to because my hip is hurting so bad up here right now. I ran into one of those brush and field mowers yesterday, and I ran that thing for about 7 hours, and it shook me every which way but loose. I know what Jerry Lee Lewis was banging out on that piano and Elvis was doing, amen. I moved in every position known to man and animal wrestling with that thing. Going up hills and down hills, and man, I'm going to tell you what, but hey, it was worth it in the end. But anyhow, Jesus was here. And He told him, He said, hey, if you'll just be calm a minute, you're going to see the glory of God happen right now.
Amen.
And then Jesus poured out His grace and love to this family when He said, roll that stone away from that tomb. And Mary and Martha's like, oh, Lord, you don't want to do that. He's been dead for 4 days now. He's going to be smelling bad. Because, you know, back in those days, they didn't do all the fancy embalming that we do now. They just wrap them up and put some spices on them and put them in a tomb and seal the entrance with a rock. So Jesus commanded them to roll that stone away. And Jesus stood there and He looked in that tomb and He said, Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. And guess what? Lazarus walked to the entrance to that tomb. Can you imagine what people were doing at that point in time? At first they were like, you know how everybody gasps whenever something crazy happens? And then I bet you it erupted into yelling and shouting and screaming. The Bible doesn't really specifically say what happened there. But can you imagine all of a sudden you saw this man die and you wrapped him up and anointed his body and wrapped it and put spices and all and put him in that tomb. Now he's walking out. And you know what Jesus said? Loose him and let him go. Man, if that doesn't show you right there, if that doesn't give you a picture of what we can expect when we die and go to heaven, I don't know of anything that will.
Amen.
Jesus showed His grace and love to this family. And you know what? That was a lot of foreshadowing in that whole situation too about what was going to eventually happen to Jesus.
Jesus was going to be dead for how many days? 3. But that grave wasn't going to keep him, amen?
Amen?
That grave couldn't hold him. And neither was it going to hold Lazarus. You know why? Because he loved that family and he was going to show them some grace and mercy at that point in time.
Amen.
Now they were already believers, but he was showing them some additional grace and mercy by what he did in resurrecting their brother Lazarus. Guys, I want you to just think about this for just a minute. You know, grace is an awesome thing. But I want to remind you again, it's not a ticket for you to continue to live a loose lifestyle. It's not a ticket for you to continue to do the wrong things continuously over and over and over. Yes, God's grace covers you when you make mistakes. Yes, you confess your sin. I hope you're hearing the Holy Spirit of God whispering in your ear, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. I hope you're hearing that. Just like he told the woman caught in adultery. He didn't excuse what she did, but he forgave her for what she did. And he encouraged her. Don't keep doing that. Parents, when you get on your kids about doing things that aren't right, tell them, hey, I forgive you. Just don't keep doing it. Let's get better. You can do better. That's what Jesus would do, wouldn't he? You show me one instant in God's Word here in the New Testament when Jesus was in his earthly ministry of where he was physically browbeating someone, you won't find it in there. You know how I know that? I've read that. I've read it over and over and over and over and over again. There's nowhere in God's Word that talks about Jesus beating people into submission and making them feel like they're about that big over their sin. He called it out. He made it a point to let them know, hey, I know what you've done here. Now I don't want you to do it anymore. And guys, that's the way it ought to be. I hope that this series has benefited you some about grace and about God's loving grace. It's not a ticket to keep living a crazy lifestyle. It's your ticket to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what grace is. It's your ticket to heaven one day. It's unmerited favor that Jesus poured out with his life, so that we could have eternal life.
Amen.
With him. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I just pray, God, that the words that were spoken here today were pleasing to you. And I just pray, Father, that we understand a little bit better about grace now. You know, some people may not put a lot of emphasis in it, but it's how we get saved. I mean, your word is very clear on that. For it's by grace through faith that we're saved. Not anything that we've done, because we don't deserve anything but death and punishment. But God, I thank you for loving us to the point where you are going to forgive us when we call upon your name, Father, and when we invite you into our hearts. Lord, I ask now that you bless each and every person here. Lord, our altars are open. I pray if anybody needs to come and pray up here, they will. And Lord, if there's anybody that needs to accept you as their Savior today, I pray they'll come and make this the day to experience your loving grace being poured out on them. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing, Becky?
476.
Let's stand and sing 476.